Good morning. This is another episode of Good Medicine is Cheaper Medicine. I'm Shelley Wrench, along with Dr. Nash Gabriel from the Gabriel Cancer Center. And today I wanted to talk about something that's really happening in the news. There's a lot of hype on one side, a lot of praise on the other side. And that's talking about what's happening at the borders.
As promised, Shelley, by the way, welcome everybody again to the show. As promised, we will never insert politics in our talks, right?
Right.
And so today we're talking about the politics of immigration and its impact on the healthcare as a joke, right? You cannot talk about anything without inserting politics. Why would we do this? Why would we talk about immigration when our program is about healthcare costs? Because it is very important.
Right.
So we hear from everybody. It's a fact. In fact, that in states where they have a lot of illegal immigrants or illegal aliens.
No, they're unauthorized.
Undocumented.
Unauthorized population.
Unauthorized population. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, in talking, you know.
To me, these are people who came to the U.S. outside the confines of the laws and the Constitution of the United States. You can create any word you want. If Alexander Hamilton was alive, he would say, idiots, it is illegal. Period.
Right, and I believe that
and
that's
Alexander
what President
Hamilton
Trump
had the ability to be that abrasive, but true.
Very true. And I believe that's what the stance that President Trump is taking.
So as I was going to say is I hear a lot about the impact of the illegal immigrants on the healthcare system from California, for instance, because my sister is practicing gynecology right. In California. As you know, Shelley, I have oncology friends almost in every single state. Mm-hmm. And it's true. These illegal people, they come here, and when they get sick, there is no human being, a doctor or a nurse or even administrator, who will turn them down for health care when they're sick.
Well, I don't know if you know what the actual term for that is, but that's called the Emergency Treatment and Active Labor Act, which is EMTALA.
There's a law there?
There's a law there that they cannot turn away anyone who's in dire need of urgent care.
Okay.
And as the last stats that were out there, there was $84.9 billion in uncompensated care costs of care for these illegal immigrants.
Right.
Well, so, I mean, that's huge.
I mean, you can do simple math. How many illegal immigrants do we have in the U.S.? Again, numbers vary. Some people say 11 million, some people 50, whatever it is. And if you calculate, assuming they get the same health care that everybody else does, and you calculate what is the cost per person, you'll come up with that number, $80, $90 billion a year. Right. So that's one aspect of it. The problem with it is nice for the Congress to pass laws like this, right? They feel some of the laws the Congress pass are make me feel good about passing a law. They all feel good that, you know what, you cannot deny care to people who are in urgent care, urgent need. The question is, who's paying for it?
I have that.
Yes.
39% of that $84.9 million in 2013 was covered by various federal programs, like the disproportionate share payments to the hospitals. 39%.
Okay.
23% by state and local governments.
Right.
So locally owned hospitals, taxpayer support.
Mm-hmm.
12% came in the form of physician charity. So physicians are actually maybe seeing them at a clinic, a free clinic. 25%, this is the most astounding, 25% is covered by hospitals through cost shifting. So you know what that is.
Got it. Cost shifting. So when... Let's put a simple example. Gabriel Cancer Center. If we one day end up treating like 50% of our patients to be uninsured, even 20% would be uninsured, our economic model will be unsustainable.
Right.
Unless you raise the price for those who pay.
Correct.
Which is
cost-shifting.
Cost-shifting. Hospitals do the same. So the hospitals that take care of the indigenous people, they do charge more in addition to the fact that they get a free drug through 340B, whatever it is. The bottom line is, nothing's for free. when you go to the emergency room and you have no insurance, and the illegal immigrants, they don't, of course, and you require a CAT scan, CAT scan will be done. If you go with a broken leg, the pin and the plate, which are very, very expensive piece of titanium, also that will be paid by whom? Again, it's us. The manufacturer of titanium, I doubt that they will provide free pin and plate for a broken leg.
Yeah, I think those people probably want money for R&D and pay their staff and employees.
Rightly, I mean, yes. I mean, a company that's medical equipment company or medical instrument company, don't expect them that they make a product and give it pro bono like Salvation Army does or like Habitat for Humanity. These are for-profit companies.
You know, a thought just occurred to me. What would happen if there was someone who came across the border illegally and was having some pain, whatever, we think it's an urgent matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
They turn out to have cancer. What do we do with that patient?
Yes.
Are we supposed to treat them?
Yes.
Can we send them back?
There's no sending back. As you know, now what Trump wants to do is to reactivate the sending back. Especially, remember, the biggest problem is once they are here, they acquire most of the rights. And there are some politicians that they think that these people can even vote. When you watch TV, when you interview the promoters of illegal immigration, the promoters of open borders, when you pin them down, do you want these people to vote? You know, their answer usually is not in federal elections. So do you mean they will vote in and they go and twist the dancers? It's a lot of politics in this. Unfortunately, the regular workers who are making $15 an hour are actually paying for the care of these people, including welfare. Remember, place in California, you apply for welfare, you get it. Thank God they have the Silicon Valley that's... And Californians are very... They are Democrats mostly. About 60% are Democrats. And Democrats love to pay taxes. So they're paying taxes. I don't think they pay more than they're required to, right?
I have no idea.
No, I don't think they do. Although, in the tax reform, in the tax return form, there is an option if you want to donate more money, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but nobody does that anyway. But these people, they know.
I'm sure a lot of Democrats do.
The Californians, they do know how much is costing them. In fact, California was almost broke. Economically, they almost went bankrupt two, 3 years ago. You look at the taxes in California now. Ohio, we complain that our tax is 6%, whatever it is. I think it should be 2%. And suck it in and try to live with your means. California is about 11% or 13%. And in fact, they passed a law that they can raise the taxes anytime they want to subsidize these things. Who is paying for it again? Is the workers, the people who actually have jobs, in addition to the...
Well, and think about it, too. 10% of U.S. citizens, only 10% are not covered with health insurance of some sort, right?
Less
than, in 2018.
Right.
61% of these undocumented, unauthorized do not have health insurance. So think about that. 90% of the patients who are going into the hospital or having any kind of health care, who's actually paying? The employers.
Yes.
And the federal. You know, if it's a Medicare patient and under age 65, it's the employers who are paying for this.
So that's one facet of the healthcare the immigration debacle that we have now, and people are arguing about it, including the Dreamers Act, the DACA people. Some of them probably are working, some of them are not. The fact is, when I look at all this, isn't there a simple solution to the problem? When I came to the U.S., I applied in the normal channels. So did all my siblings. Entered the U.S. legally and did what it took to get citizenship, right?
Right.
Why are we trying to basically have these people come in the front line, bypass us, bypass everybody else? There are people now who are waiting for several years to get visa to the U.S. These are people who really want to come here and work and contribute. Why are we doing this? Well, the farmers, business owners, people like Monsanto and DuPont and all these people, they have huge farms in California, for instance. and they depend a lot on the cheap labor of the illegal immigrants. How about create a system where you create a seasonal visa? I wouldn't even ask them to pay taxes. I would also exempt them from the minimum wage. Provide them some benefit, incentivize them to come to the U.S., work for the harvest season of the tomato harvest or the pistachio harvest, whatever you have. And then season is over, bye-bye. Take their money with them, and then, hey, see you guys next season. Or you want some of them to plow the land and do stuff, bring them back. What's wrong with that?
But don't you think it would be rather difficult once they get a taste of what the life is like in the U.S. to go back? I mean, think about when you came from Iraq. Do you really want to go back? It would be hard for you to go back.
The only hard part for me was to go back to Iraq, and still I haven't been back since I left in 81, is what? Safety. Don't tell me that Mexico is not safe. We actually have a vacation home in Mexico, right?
Right.
Two, not one, as a business. So Mexico is not that unsafe place.
There are unsafe places, but they can move within Mexico. But there's also other people besides Mexicans coming through the Mexico border.
Right, Nicaragua. Well, we have been to many of those countries. I mean, Peru is a great country, right? Beautiful
right.
country.
Right.
It's very poor. It's very poor, right? So to say that these people come here because for safety concerns, it is. I think it was one politician that day, he said up to, or she said up to 10% of them fear persecution, stuff like that. I don't think so. I don't think so. There is, I mean, you know, in Peru, we were there a few months ago. There was demonstrations when the former president was
that's right.
furloughed or pardoned yeah. by the current president. Yeah. So there is a freedom there. I mean, they had problems by the communists in the old days. Not anymore. So all these are more economical. And if it's economical, it's win-win. Bring them here. Work for the season. Don't take taxes from them. Even their health care costs, that's up to the employer because it will be inexpensive for them to have these. Rather than insist that, no, they come here and they have the right to vote and they become citizens. Why? What happened to the people actually waiting on the line? That's number one. Number two, do we really, I mean, America has always attracted people who want to, number one, believe in the Constitution, believe in the system of the government, right?
Right.
Believe in melting or assimilating in the melting pot. And also there's other people who are usually driven. They want to achieve something in life. I think the people we're having crossing the border, most of them, I can guess, are people who just want the opportunity of being on the welfare system and somebody would take care of them. Is that what we want?
No, it's not what we want, but how do you know for sure? I mean, you can't just interview and they say, yes, I'm going to work and I want to be prosperous.
Oh, look at the Europeans. The
what
Europeans, when there's the legal immigration to Europeans, is you it's based on meritology, the merits, rather than the right that some people think have.
So they like give their CV, their resume?
Interview them. How good are they in the language? Shelly, you interview people every day for jobs, mm-hmm. and you can tell the level of intelligence and the need.
Exactly.
To be honest with you, I think the U.S. need more plumbers.
Plumbers. The world.
There is no doubt that the U.S. need more physicians. You know what? For physicians to come to the U.S. to practice, I think I know how difficult it is. Why do we do that? Why do we make life so difficult for potential immigrants who can come, who have talents, abilities, degrees, education, and make life difficult for them? When I came to the U.S., I think I explained this over and over. I had two degrees. Each one of them is equivalent to a PhD. But the U.S. system, established by the American Medical Association, required me to repeat every single step, including medical school steps, by taking two tests to prove that I had the knowledge of a medical school graduate. And when I achieved that, that wasn't enough. Oh, you have to come with very high grades. Grades that American graduates cannot achieve in the same test. And I did. And then they said, that's not only for me, that's for everybody. And then they said, you have to redo all the training you have done in Iraq and Scotland. And I had to do that. Why are we making it so difficult? Why? And yet, the people who are coming illegally and immediately, instantly become parasites on the system. I hate the word parasite, but you have to use it. Number one, they house them. They put them like in the places where, and now people are complaining, oh my gosh, they put them in cages. Well, there were no cages. Well, they are fenced out. Guess what? When you cross the border illegally, what's the word illegal mean? It means against the law. That makes a crime. I don't know why people are arguing about this. It is a crime to enter another country without regular permission. And now all of a sudden, unfortunately, a lot of politicians, well, we have to be pragmatic and practical. I don't see practicality in, except the method I'm describing. Yeah, we need the workers there, but we don't have to have them. Maybe we can create a law. If you come to the U.S. 10 seasons in a row, that will be a path for you to become, to get a green card. Why not? But don't bring the people who cross the fence, cross the border, and give them priority to those who are waiting in the line. And most of those, remember, the people who are waiting in the line are the people who have good jobs, and they are in relatively better shape, and they don't want to abandon their good position wherever they are and come illegally to the U.S., and usually they have a pride. They don't want to immigrate to a country to be dependent on that society. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And we are punishing those people. Those are the exact people that the United States needs. The people who are willing to wait and wait because they think it's worth it, and they are not willing to take risk with their current situation by coming illegally and sitting here. And they have usually pride. They don't want to be on welfare.
So what do you think we should do currently as we're going through this transition period with President Trump at the border for health care? I mean, you're a physician. What do you think would be the resolution to take care of these people and not put such a strain on, let alone, you know, the employers, us that have to pay for it in the hospitals, and everyone else? What would you suggest should be done?
Well, here's the problem. There is a law that requires hospitals and providers to take care of those.
And they get paid for that.
Urgently.
There's a name for it. And they get payments for that. They get subsidies.
They get subsidies for that.
Share.
But somebody is paying for that. Number one, The subsidy comes from the government. Yes, the government does print mint money. But that's our money. It's our taxes. So we are paying for that. And then the cost shifting is happening by the hospitals. Who is paying for that? The employers, the self-employed, and the people who buy insurance. So when they provide these patients with the drugs, drug companies sell the drug. So the hospitals have to surcharge. Everybody has to increase the cost. So bottom line, what do we need to do? Well, in the old days, when medicine was less complicated and less technologically advanced, the charitable, especially the Catholic charitable organizations, Catholic hospitals, mm-hmm. absorbed a lot of the indigenous care. The problem is now even those, they cannot sustain themselves economically. We're seeing it even Mercy Hospital. They used to provide charity all over the place.
Well, don't you think that it's because there's a lot of donations that are no longer there? Contributors are not donating, I don't think, as much.
Yes, the public is skeptical about charitable organizations. I'm not talking about the Catholic, by the way. They're always the Catholic organizations have always been the best. But the public is skeptical about United Way, American Cancer Society, and all those. And to be honest with you, those people, a lot of their money, and we discussed this before, goes into the management. Only a small slice of it gets
management
spent
in people's
pockets. Exactly, but I'm buying the BMWs, whatever it is. Fact is, not to be distracted, there is not enough money for the charitable organizations and the charitable hospitals just cannot give Opdivo and Keytruda to these people. And in fact, Charlie, when we have an insured patient, American uninsured patient, or legal citizen with a green card, and when we want to give them Keytruda or Opdivo or one of those, the drug companies, they provide for free. They will not provide it for illegal people.
No, they have to be U.S. citizens.
They have to be, or green card. They have to be, right?
Right.
They have to have SS number, social security number, and so on. So what do we do with all this? They are here. So one way is start weeding them out. At the same time, stop anybody coming in. Do I seem like talking about the wall?
Kind of.
I don't know what other ways. This policy of catch and release, just imagine. I'm not to be graphic and not to be disrespectful to people. We have a trap in our yard, in our garden, right? To catch groundhog.
I have a heart.
To catch a groundhog. Right. Can you imagine if our policy is we catch the groundhog and then release him in the garden? And then catch him next day and release him in the garden.
Well, it's funny that...
Wouldn't we be called stupid?
No, you catch it and release somewhere else. But then that poor... Wherever you release it at...
I put him in a private jet and send him somewhere. It will be next...
Send him to Mexico.
Send him to Mexico. No, it will be our next door neighbor, and the groundhog will come back. That's what we're doing. I'm not saying that these people are groundhog for God's sake. No, they're human beings.
Right.
But they are human beings that by their choice, they are acting like something less than human by just jumping, crossing the border because they can. And unfortunately, criminal organization, the gang,
M13?
And whatever their name is. Yesterday, they arrested 13 of them. Of those 8 are illegal immigrants, and they killed 2 teenage boys a year or 2 years ago. Really? I mean, we're actually opening the border to people. So when people come legally, you vet them. When I came legally to the U.S., they asked me, have you ever been a member of the Ba'ath Party? I said, no. Have you ever been a member of the Communist Party? I said, no. Have you ever been convicted of a felony in Iraq? And I said, no. Have you been arrested in Iraq? I said, yes. I jaywalked in Baghdad, and they put me in a van. And they took me half an hour away, and they said, now you go back to your home, to your car. You have to declare everything, and believe it or not, they have the immigration services.
But do we have enough staff to actually do all that vetting and then double?
The embassy.
I mean, not just to interview, but to actually confirm and...
You better. They do, and they have the embassy who has informants, who have staffing. Remember, we just built an embassy, American embassy in Baghdad, $600 million. There'll be people there. In fact, my cousin works there.
Is it made of gold? Seems quite pricey.
No, she said it's very, very big. You met my cousin. Yeah, she's working there on behalf of the U.S. government. Yeah, they do have the staffing, and they do have the people. And you know what? Interviewers are sharp people. They're smart people. They know. They look you in the eye. Like you do when you interview people. You interview sometimes people and you say, yeah, just doesn't look that right. Just the body language, even the language itself. They don't have to use lie detector. Fact is that vetting is way, way, way superior to no vetting. To me, honestly, if somebody was arrested because of whatever, that's okay if they show to me that they have a level of education, not somebody who studied history, no, somebody who has a degree in engineering. Look at, again, the physicians. We are, to me, the physicians probably are the highest educated people. They are the most scrutinized in coming to the U.S. And guess what? We always say there's a shortage. And honestly, the foreign medical graduates... It's not that medical schools abroad are better than the U.S. now, but the foreign doctors who come here are the cream of the crop of their class. Don't you want those to come here and serve our people?
The same with engineers and
engineers
others.
Is easier.
Yeah. We want those engineers.
We want those engineers.
Roads and bridges.
Look at us. We are justifying half-assed care through medical assistants, no, physician assistants and nurse practitioners because of impending shortage. Okay. Why don't you be a little bit more nice to the physicians who want to come here? I think it's all politics by the American Medical Association. It's kind of, what do you call that? Control it, keep it to themselves, minimize how many people. They think that if you minimize how many doctors there are, that the supply and demand thing.
Right.
Well, as a physician, supply and demand is one thing. Have people's access to care is another thing. You and I brag about the fact that at Gabriel Cancer Center, we see new patients within 48 hours, and our established patients, we see them the same day. Everybody else doesn't do that. Why? Maybe too busy? Yeah, you call them inefficient. Fact is, even if physicians are inefficient, well, then you bring efficient ones to do the work. We're not doing that. So the whole, that's why you brought this issue today of the relevance of the immigration debate on healthcare. It's very, very relevant.
It's very costly. And that's why we wanted to bring it up, because I don't think that people understand about how much you know, we're paying as a society for these people who are coming illegally.
And remember one thing. I mean, the last thing you expect is an immigrant person or an adopted son of the United States to be promoting restriction on immigration. By the way, promoting restriction through preventing illegal immigration. I really believe in the vetting, absolutely, because tell you what, if you let everybody come in, our gene pool, if you read my book, you read my book 7 times,
right?
The Cancer Gene. If you allow this proportionate number of people who are more, criminologists will call them more criminal, have criminal tendency, the future generations will take those DNA segments and become part of them, not good.
Wouldn't it be nice if the physicians who actually came here legally took care of those illegal immigrants for free?
Who will pay them?
They should do it for free.
Okay, you're sarcastic now.
No, I'm serious. I think that
nobody should work for free, shall I? I don't.
Maybe there should be some kind of disproportionate hospitals that are actually staffed by those physicians and those types.
No, what I'm talking about, no, it wouldn't work. I'm talking about drastic change. We have screwed up so much since JFK was the president by giving priority to family connection rather than merit. And it's time now to fix it. And thank God there are some people now who have balls to take on the subject and fix it the right way.
I agree.